it. Oh, Canada, it's Forge. They are forever first. It's a championship made for Hamilton as Forge are the Kings of the North, winners of the North Star Shield, and make history as the first ever Canadian Premier League champions.
Hello and welcome to a special championship edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson, Armin Bedakian, and Charlie O'Connor Clark with you. Forge are the first ever Canadian Premier League champions.
Woo! We did it.
Yeah.
We but more did specifically, it. Forge did it.
Forge did it. Yes, yes. Forge definitely did it. 2-0 on aggregate. 1-0 away win in Calgary. We'll get to pretty much everything in the game here coming up. We'll talk a little bit about the U Sports draft that's coming up this weekend too. But yeah, let's get right to it. So Forge with that late winner. But again, it was really, to me, came down to the defense.
Yeah. Wow. 180 minutes. And two completely different back lines and two different pairings of defensive midfielders, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Forge keeps off the top scoring team, basically keeps them off the score sheet for 180 minutes, for two
Incredible.
Whole games. And Cavalry had like an unreal amount of looks at goal, a crazy amount of set pieces, free kicks, corner kicks, Pasquati kicks, I guess, I don't know what you call those.
But from it all, I think across two legs, they still had four shots on target.
Yeah.
Yeah,
including a Dominique Malanga header that went straight into the ground instead of into the back of the net.
You had a problem with that? So he had two headers like that. Well, okay, but that, if he is just so, like if he's, I don't know, like maybe 2 inches farther when he hits that into the ground, that's going in the top corner, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh,
no
yeah.
doubt.
No, of course. Yeah. I get the idea, but dude, it's just so close. Like I had the luxury, the privilege, the special honor, I would say, of foregoing the press box and actually sitting in the stands for those 90 minutes in Cavalry.
He's one of you, people listening at home. He's one of you.
And I can tell you, man, when that cross comes in and Malanga gets his head on it, the whole stadium, the whole crowd just instant quiet.
Oh, my God.
It was unreal.
Just from where I was watching on the broadcast, it looked like the stadium was just ready to pop.
Yeah, it was like unbelievable.
One goal went in.
So loud, you couldn't even hear the person beside you.
Yeah.
Like truly, I've had the privilege of covering a lot of different finals, a couple MLS Cup finals in my day, a U Sports Championship, OUA finals, and I've seen the vibe, and there's very different vibes across the different layers of soccer in this country. But, man, I can't even begin to explain how much hype was in the air for this game. I mean, it's not 30,000 people at BMO Field, but with that roof, it certainly sounds like it is. And Cavalry fans delivered. I mean, it was loud. The other amazing thing, underrated about ATCO Field and Spruce Meadows, is the stands are made out of metal.
So do they have that vibration?
But there's pieces that move. Like, things are not fastened in place. Like it's kind of like a cover for the stairs.
Mm-hmm,
so there's no, it has no structural integrity. It's more design, but those things shake. And like when you're sitting around watching,
maybe hear the rattle on TV, right?
That comes through.
So when you're watching horse jumping, there's like, you know, a healthy clap every now and then. But when you're in a soccer stadium, you've got like 5,000 people like slamming their feet against the metal. There's like this rattle in the stadium. Plus, I mean, there's clearly no policy against flares or vuvuzelas. So I'm telling you, man, that was an unreal atmosphere. Calgary, you guys delivered 100%. Shout out to Barton Street Battalion as well. There was a sizable traveling contingent.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, for 90 minutes, that was an unreal match.
So maybe the moment where it became clear to me the Forge was going to come away, because you saw Cavalry just constantly knocking at the door, the two Malanga headers. He had one in the first half as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jose Escalante, almost like a relief pitcher in baseball, like coming off the bench to take that free kick. It was he's hit two at Spruce Meadows from there, and probably one away from home now I think about it. And he just comes up to it. He's like, okay, this
he's
is
like,
the time.
Yo, Boucher, I got this. I got it.
That would have been such a moment, though.
Very close. And then
it
after
hit the
that.
Side netting, but everybody thought it went in.
Yeah.
So the whole atmosphere in the crowd, the kids were like jumping up and down, and like, I'm looking around like, oh, guys.
But that's the story of the game. The story of the game, and over the two games, frankly, is that Cavalry did not score.
Yep.
They scored like something, 51 goals over 28 games in the league, had a great goal-scoring record against Forge,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, spring and fall winners. We can get into that too if you want. I don't think it's really much of a debate that because Cavalry won those that they deserve to be champions, but all credit to Forge.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? In the end of the day, Forge showed over two legs that defense wins you championships. It's yeah. It's a cliche we know in sports, but truly the fact that like a combination of 8 or 9 different players and a back six, let's say, were able to step it up. And huge, huge shout out to David Edgar and Daniel Crutzen, who were unreal for the 90 minutes or for the 180 minutes. But you got to look at him and you got to commend Bobby Smyrniotis for getting his tactics right. He didn't push the issue. He knew that a goal would come when Cavalry was panicking, and he just waited. On that last corner kick, when it fell to the feet of, I think it was either Cisse or
I think it was Cisse.
It was Cisse, right? Was Cisse. When it falls to his foot, you immediately know that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Calgary just blew it. The two of them are off, and then David Chouinard just slots it home.
And Charlie, you wrote something on campiel.ca going a little bit more in detail about Forge's defense and tip, and specifically, I guess, Edgar Crutzen sitting just that very far back, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's two sides to the coin because Cavalry, on the one hand, couldn't finish their chances, but I really don't think that they had that many dangerous ones because Forge was just, especially in the second leg, they clearly came into it with a very defined plan of kind of sitting compact, and they put pressure on Cavalry when they needed to. Like, Cavalry wasn't really given any space at all to move, but Forge was just kind of the more in-sync team. They had the fullbacks were just all over anybody who touched the ball at any point.
It was weird because I've never thought this about Cavalry all season, but their first half, especially in Spruce Meadows, they felt very one-dimensional in the sense that it constantly went to Pasquati.
It's always Pasquati.
And Pasquati was constantly trying to get the ball off into the box.
Yeah, but they were pushed to the wings, though.
They were. No, it's not about going to the wings. It's not like I was looking for more central movement. It was more Jordan Brown on the other side, on the left, was
completely isolated.
Like no service. I think he had like 3 runs maybe. Yeah. And then in the second half, it kind of changed.
Position?
Yeah. So that's what I know Jordan Brown is doing there to do a job. And so there's a bit of, like, you know, counterbalancing Forge's potential offense. Every time Borges touches the ball, it's just a ring of boos around the stadium.
Okay. Were you surprised by that choice by Tommy Wheeldon Jr. to put Brown in there instead of Escalante or Oliver Mantel?
I think it's the same philosophy, the same mentality of why Camargo came off the bench in the first leg. I think Wheeldon Jr. likes having a surprise element off of his bench for that last 25 minutes.
He did nearly pay off with Escalante.
It was Escalante like running up for a free kick for like 30 yards off the bench.
Run directly off the bench and kick it into the net.
But ultimately, it didn't really matter. I mean, I think whatever Cavalry threw at Forge was able to handle. And in the end of the day, they're worthy champions. Yeah. They showed over two legs that they were the better team. 1-1-0 on both legs. It's not like they bunkered down and got a 0-0. They counterattacked. And you could, you know, 95th minute goal, you can say they did a defensive job. But, I mean, congratulations to Forge FC, to Bobby Smyrniotis, to Kyle Becker, to Tristan Borges, and the rest of the team.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved champions. And I know they're very humble guys. I kind of gave them a little bit of pressure in their press conference. I'm like, you guys are champions. Can you tell me what you're going to do to celebrate as champions? And I think we finally started to see the little bit of human side of Bobby Smyrniotis, who was soaked in champagne, cut his head from bumping it somewhere. He had a bandage on.
Well, you could see just after the final whistle how much that meant to them.
Yep. They lifted the North Star Shield with a lot of excitement.
They were all emotional on the pitch. It was great.
If you go back 6 months, like at the start of the season, pretty much everybody was picking Forge.
Yep.
Because they had the best team on paper. They had the familiarity and maybe a bit of that Ontario bias for the people maybe writing from Ontario.
A little bit.
But you saw them be favorites. And then I think as Borges rightly pointed out after the game saying, you know, we've had these lulls, or actually I guess it was before the game, you know, we've had these lulls to start the spring season where they lost to HFX.
8 points.
Dropped 8 points. Yeah. And then in the fall season, lost to Edmonton at home.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this idea of them being favorites and then kind of underperforming until the very end.
Yeah.
Like I think that really is a great story and you see it.
It was juxtaposed by the fact that Cavalry was such like a team of destiny, fairy tale story, beat the Whitecaps. Everyone's very friendly. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. is just such a gentleman. Like, truly, you know, the thing about Tommy Wheeldon Jr. is this is a man who's going to look back on this day and not really be bitter about it.
No.
He's going to look into the stars and ponder, what is life trying to teach me today?
You can see after, in the press conference after after the match.
Such a gracious coach hosting the finals, the final game of our season, and seeing it off as a true gentleman. I have to give Tommy a lot of credit for his team's performance, for the fact that they were willing to play, you know, clean, beautiful football in a final. I mean, I can't even remember a two-legged final that was that entertaining in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the second leg.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
Yeah. I mean, Tommy Wheeldon Jr. has every right to be very proud of his team. As
absolutely.
You say. I mean, they didn't really leave anything.
And also, let's not talk about this like it's a finished story.
No.
Cavalry will be back next season, as will Forge, as will newly renewed squads. We just saw some news from Edmonton today. 8 players have been released. They're renegotiating with some other players who have options. So Edmonton will be renewed. I'm sure York 9 and Halifax and Pacific and Valor, they'll all be looking to make some moves as they also look to get there. Tommy talked about it in his post-game conference, as did Bobby. We started the season as kind of better teams, but people have caught up. And next year is going to be fascinating to watch as such.
Such a fascinating quote from Smyriotis after the match, saying that we took a gamble, is what he said. We took a bet on losing Emery Welshman and then gaining David Edgar. And over those two games, you can tell, like, if they didn't have another center back, to me, they wouldn't be
champions. No, David Edgar wins Forge this championship.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
He's my MVP.
Yeah. So...
I'd give a shout to Kwame Awuwa for having Pasquati's number the whole.
That is also a really
he had a great two matches.
And you know what else I liked? Bobby said we also took a chance on Canadian attackers. He goes, we're the only team that our front six is all Canadian between Becker, Borges, Novak, Nanko, Cadell Thomas, David Chouinard. I mean, like they purely went for local Canadian talent, and it paid off for them.
He took a lot of bets on even on the Sigma guys that he knew, like picking Tristan Henry.
Tristan Henry was amazing
over Quillen Roberts.
Yeah.
That was a gamble at the start of the season.
A true nerd selection, because he knows him, and he's like, I don't care what anybody says.
This is my guy. Yeah,
a lot of people were surprised by that at the start of the season, but you can't say it was a bad choice.
Absolutely, you got to look back on Forge's campaign and say they were just shy of winning both spring and fall. It's not like they were blown out. And then, so when you look at those margins, you give the edge to Cavalry for being the better team over the two, but the championship is won and lost in the moments that matter, and they rose to the moment that matters. Speaking of the moments that matter, in the moments after the championship, after the trophy lift, we saw something kind of interesting develop on social media, which I think we need to give a shout out for.
Yeah, we got to address this.
So we saw the hashtag CanPL Trophy Challenge, and I can tell you from at least the Center Circle Live crew and from some of the chatter we've heard around the office, I think President Paul Byrne said he was into it. And we got to say, for the historic first CPL meme, we are 100% on board.
I'm behind it. Yeah.
Unreal, guys.
I would have posted mine, but I got like pizza pocket stains on it or something.
Mine is just irredeemable.
I think the idea that there are Canadians celebrating a trophy across the country with something that everyone has in common is a really nice sentiment and a good way to bring it home.
It's very Canadian to kind of keep your tongue in cheek like that.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And you know what? You know what I loved is when they were like pouring beer off of the North Star Shield into people's mouths. I thought that was something you would just like never see
absolutely.
In any other type of championship sort of celebration.
And also, let's take a moment to talk about the player awards upcoming on November 26th, individual player and coaching awards, goalkeeper of the year awards and such, created by artists out of Nunavut.
Cape Dorset, I believe.
Cape Dorset. We have a few names, and I think it's important that we shout them out. We have Takyaluk Nuna, Palaya Kwiatsuk, and Pitsiolak Kimiripik. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong, but I think it's really important that we acknowledge the artists that created some of these trophies. And, you know, I think they're gorgeous and
they're
so uniquely Canadian. And so the originals will stay in the CPL office, a smaller version, same basic pose, but just as handmade and unique as the originals, will be given
beautiful
to the players.
Soapstone.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. And each one signifying their own meaning and like the hunter representing the top scorer,
the
owl representing the coach.
Yeah,
it's unreal. So cool. I think this is a like from an objective standpoint. I know that we're part of CPL, but looking at that from the outside, if I was just a member of external media, I would come away from that whole thing just utterly impressed with the not just the idea, but the execution of it.
kind of feels like we're done, but I guess we're not. It feels like the ending of something.
Yeah, absolutely. And Center Circle Live will continue through the off season, and later on in the year, we'll have an episode where we review the year that was for each of the seven clubs. But for now, guys, is there a moment or a memory that you guys have from Finals 2019 that will really stand out for you for the rest of your days in Canadian soccer?
Well, for the rest of my days, for the rest of my life, definitely Jeff Paulus on the One Soccer halftime show.
Good shout.
As your Al Clasico sort of analyst, even though he had obviously skin in the game. Yeah, I love. So they went back and they found all of the clips that he had throughout the season. We know all of the fun ones. Great. You know, it took me 27 games to find out I had a winger. Or
at least we didn't lose 11 in a row like the other guys. Or whatever it was. Yeah.
Anyways, it was so good. He was also he was an awesome analyst, and I thought he added a lot to that broadcast.
Interesting perspective for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Charlie?
A moment. I honestly thought it was really, really cool to see when David Chouinard scored at the end of the second leg. And just ran into that mob of traveling Forge fans.
Yeah, that was cool.
I think that was a pretty special moment.
Yeah, because it was like we won.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they knew they won, and it was kind of, they're like, okay, we have to come over here. We're gonna go nuts, but we have to go stand on the other side of the pitch for a second so the ref can blow the whistle, and then we'll run right back here.
It was very like Kawhi last second like free throw.
Like I have to take.
Yeah, like
free
I
throw.
Have to, but we won, but whatever.
Yeah, for me it was just a nice like. It was a nice pre-celebration because a lot of games don't have that. Like you said, like when the Raptors won, it added to it.
Yeah, it just kind of made it a slightly more climactic ending. Like they scored a goal. Like they didn't draw this game 0-0. They won the game with that goal. And just the emotion on all the Forge players when they were just running. I kind of liked how some of the Forge fans were kind of standing on this little line behind the
like
end.
A balcony kind of thing.
And then they kind of started to step over it so they could
go
towards the players.
Do we mop
and then
the pitch
like,
or not?
And then they're like, okay, yeah, let's just go.
Also, did you guys not notice there was a couple FC Edmonton fans in that Forge group?
Yeah.
So there were FC Edmonton fans in there, but also there was York 9 supporters who traveled. There was a couple Pacific FC fans who were there. We saw Ben Fisk there as well. Shout out to Ben Fisk. We see you. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw he was having lunch.
Ben Fisk and his brother both in attendance. Jimmy Brennan and Preben Ganshorn. But there was people from across the league in attendance. My moment and my real moment is one I cannot share. It's something that happened on the field with a certain 13 goal scoring Forge FC player, and I will forever treasure it in my heart for what he said.
What?
Just an expletive laden. I think I wrote about it in my article. It was just an expletive laden like rant on the sideline with his jersey up in the air a la Messi. And so I don't know if a video of that exists.
He had crest out, not name out.
I don't know if a video of it exists, but it was truly the best thing I've seen a player do when they win a championship. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day that video will surface. I don't know. But I guess for this purpose, the other moment that really stood out for me is late night at Tim Hortons Field. Look, if you told me that Forge FC players won their championship, celebrated in Calgary, and then they were going to have a celebration on Thursday between 7 and 10 p.m., I think you can check out Forge FC's website and RSVP if you want to be there. And if you told me that was the only thing that there was going to be in year one, I'd buy that. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I don't think there's any expectation that, you know, they come off the bus at Tim Hortons Field at like 11 o'clock at night in Hamilton and they were going to be greeted by people. And yet, this game, this beautiful game, provides us always with these moments. Forge gets off the bus, and who's there to greet them at Tim Hortons Field? It's the Barton Street Battalion.
Well, it was kind of poetic because we saw the Barton Battalion seeing them off a couple of days before when they were getting on the bus, and then they're welcomed right back into Hamilton by the same group. It was
Shout a really out to Barton scene. Street Battalion. You guys are awesome. Kyle Becker said it himself. He's like, in his post-game conference, he goes, we knew that they were going to be loud, but our fans are louder. So, shout out to that. And, you know, it was an incredible event, an incredible game, and an incredible season, really, and truly a pleasure to be a part of.
And no rest for the wicked here at Center Circle Live. We're going to be in Montreal for the 2019 CPL U Sports Draft that's taking place on Monday.
Yeah, as well as the U Sports Championship. We'll be there to see all the action as university sports comes to its natural conclusion. The CPL U Sports Draft in 2018 set the stage, I think, for what this event is going to be.
Yeah.
Once again, you can visit campl.ca and you'll get full coverage. This year we'll have some special features on some upcoming players you should keep an eye out for. But let's take a look back at the 2018 U Sports Draft. And with a whole season of CPL soccer under their belts, the draft actually produced a lot of really high quality talent.
Yeah, so 13 out of the 21 picks.
Yeah.
And if you look back, like, you know, when that draft happened, I think we were maybe all guilty of it, where you had all of these names and you don't know them all because it's hard to remember all that information. You look back now, like you have even your Andre Bonas, like he recorded some crazy amount of minutes, like led all the U Sports players.
So let's go through a list of the players and we can kind of talk about who came out of 2018 and how they impressed.
Well, we've got Gabriel Bitar was first overall. We should mention he did go back to school with Carlton.
Yeah, he is eligible again.
To be redrafted.
Yeah. So it could be Cavalry again or it could be another team if they choose. He is available and he's been doing well at Carlton.
Yeah.
I believe they're in the finals, so it'll be an interesting situation. There's a lot of good strikers this year. I know Tommy Gardner from UBC is another player that's kind of caught attention. He was drafted last year by Pacific, but picked up an injury and was unavailable to play. So there are a couple returning names. Guys like Peter Schala and Jace Katsopoulos are graduates now. They will not be available, as is Dylan Carrera, I believe. So those kinds of players, graduating seniors, will no longer be available in this year's draft. It will purely be players who are eligible for school in the following year. But there was a lot of really talented players that emerged from 2018. You got guys like Daniel Gogarty for York 9, who played a lot of games.
Especially in the spring season.
Yep. Connor James, goalkeeper for FC Edmonton, who split time with Dylan Pauly and now seems to be the number one now that Pauly has been released. A couple others.
A player who gave us one of the defining moments of Finals 2019 absolutely. In Joel Waterman.
Joel Waterman.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
And we've got to mention Easton Ongaro. Even though he was selected by Cavalry, ended up with FC Edmonton.
Ended up with Edmonton. And speaking of goalkeepers, Christian Ochsner is another one that...
He kind of worked his way into winning the starting shirt in Halifax.
So there were quite a few players that emerged out of the inaugural CPL U Sports draft. I know Tommy Gardner, who's Pacific FC's pick, is another player that's turning heads. There are a few other players, though, for the 2019 edition that are...
Yeah, Armin, I guess you've been trying to watch a little bit of this. You've been talking with some people in the know. Like, who are some names we should be looking out for here?
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting players. I think Gabriel Bitar out of Carlton is a player that we know, and I don't know if he'll go number one again. But there is another player out of Carlton, Stefan Karajovanovic, who has really impressed.
Carlton has a good team this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they beat York for knocking them off their two-year winning streak.
Yep. There's another player with an interesting connection, Reggie Laria, brother of Richie Laria, who's currently kind of killing it at TFC.
And the
MLS
national
Cup
team.
Finalist, national team as well. So there's another kind of cool family connection there. There's another really great player out of Montreal. His name's Pierre Lamuth. He's a former Montreal Impact Academy player. He's played in the USL with FC Montreal. And, you know, from what I've seen, he seems like he's a pretty good distributor of the ball. He likes to dribble. He kind of shoots from distance. But maybe his 1v1 is something that a coach could work on. That being said, though, I see tremendous amount of talent from what is a very versatile player. And I think he's one of those players that could really shoot up the ladder from a market that isn't necessarily local to any of these teams, but is a market that is tremendously talented. I mean, we saw, from Blainville, Diadine Abzi, really impressed for York 9. And I think that this is a market, Quebec anyways, that can really supplement some talent around the league. There's a lot of talent here. The fact that we're doing this draft in Montreal will really highlight that. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I mean, there are guys who are at the championship who will be in Montreal for this.
Yeah, like Cape Breton, right? We should talk about Cape Breton. Because
they are finalists
last season. Obviously, Peter Schala, we don't need to repeat what he's done.
He is.
Yes, for HFX, but they've always had a strong program.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then once again, I think it was Peter Schala who kind of put them into the AUS finals with a header.
Mm-hmm.
Another great moment for the Wanderers guy. But I think, you know, like when you're looking down the list of players this year, yeah, there's a lot of names that maybe aren't necessarily recognizable unless you're from one of these schools. But look what the CPL did for the 13, 14 players who, you know, made it into the starting lineups or into the regular rotation. Now they're household names for their respective markets.
Yeah.
So this year will be another fascinating year to watch. You can check out campl.ca, of course, for all of this information. We'll be there a couple days in advance to watch the U Sports Championship Finals, as well as take in a few other kind of interesting events that are going on. And we'll be sure to talk to all the coaches and any of the players we see in and around the city. And we'll try to make sure that we can get you as much coverage as we can from what will be a very fascinating event. Because a year from now, we're going to be looking back at some of these names, whether the ones that we mentioned, maybe some that we haven't. and we're going to be saying, man, can you believe that he was just a guy that was drafted in the second round? You know? That's the beauty of a draft. I've had the pleasure of covering a lot of them over my time at both the Score with MLS, and you never know, right? You never know. You could be the last player picked, and you'll be the biggest star in the league, and it's just a matter of taking the most of your opportunity.
There are only two rounds this year, but keep in mind, Ongaro was picked in the third round.
Yeah.
So was Oxnard.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, true. And those are two starters.
Yeah.
I think beyond the, you know, two rounds of play, there will be plenty of opportunities for other players. There will be plenty of opportunities for these guys to shine. The beauty of this year's draft is that because they're not done school, they have another year to even show and then make a name for themselves. We're in for a real treat here, I think. Last year, there was some hesitancy, I'm sure, just on the basis that the CPL was brand new. Players didn't really know what it was about. But with a full season, and I would say a very successful season under their belts, now these players are going to be clamoring for opportunities and spots. It's all about building the pyramid, you know? We're building the pathways. And the CPL U Sports Draft is a very tangible pathway for these guys to become pros. Mm-hmm. It'll all come through on Monday, November 11th, so make sure to tune into campale.ca to see all the full coverage that will be provided. And if you're interested in purchasing any Forge FC merchandise for the championship, for their finals win, you can check out...
The hats are nice.
You can check out shop.campale.ca for owning that. And that'll just about do it for us here today, I think. We will be back next week with full coverage of the CPL U Sports Draft, so stay tuned.